This is David, back with Slugcast, brought to you by the Division of Student Affairs and Success, here with a new episode all about Kuomba Jazz. First, let me say it's nice to be back on the microphone. This has been an especially busy year with job applications and dissertation work, so this is a really nice change of pace. Quite a while ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Tim Jackson, co-founder of Santa Cruz's Kuomba Jazz. Tucked away just off Pacific Avenue, the venue offers an intimate setting for music, along with food and drink. But it is so much more than just a venue. Kuomba Jazz is nonprofit and has a long history of serving the community through educational programs and offering half-price tickets for students to all their shows. This year, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. So it was even more special to learn about how Kuomba got started from their co-founder. The day after our conversation, I went to Kuomba to see American Patchwork Quartet, who were on their way to the Grammys the next day after their inaugural album was nominated for Best Folk Record. It was a fantastic experience, with every seat feeling like it was in the front row, and the sound quality of the space on full display. I hope you enjoy our conversation, and be sure to stick around after the interview to hear about some exciting upcoming events. Perfect. All right, great. Well, thank you. Thank you again, Tim. Is that okay if I call you Tim?
Sure.
For sitting down with me today. And for those of us listening that don't know who you are, aren't familiar with the center, would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your work?
Sure. My name's Tim Jackson. I'm a co-founder and the artistic director at Kuomba Jazz in downtown Santa Cruz. So Kuomba Jazz is basically the Santa Cruz community's jazz outlet. We are a nonprofit organization that was founded right here in town in 1975. So this year's our 50th anniversary. And we have spent the last 50 years presenting jazz and jazz education opportunities to the Santa Cruz community and beyond. Like I say, we were founded in 1975, and we've been operating the Kuomba Jazz Center since 1977. So since 1977, the majority of our productions have happened at Kuomba Jazz Center, although we do various shows throughout the town at the Rio Theater and Civic Auditorium and various other venues. But our home base is Kuomba Jazz Center down on Cedar Street.
I'm curious a little bit, something I couldn't find in my background research, about how you came to be in Santa Cruz, or maybe Monterey was where you started at based on some things I read.
No, I was born in San Jose. And so I was born and raised there outside of Los Gatos. And I got into music early. Played music early on, but by the time I was in high school, I was doing more surfing than playing music. So I came over to Santa Cruz to surf quite a bit. So when I graduated from high school in 1972, I moved to Santa Cruz to attend Cabrillo College. And so essentially, other than a couple of short periods here and there, I've lived in Santa Cruz ever since. And I started studying music at Cabrillo College with Lyle Cruz and Ray Brown. I went on to study jazz at San Jose State University. And then, you know, that was 72 when I got here to Santa Cruz. And by 75, we had started to form Kuomba Jazz. So just about a 3-year period of sort of incubation.
Sure. And that leads right to my next question, you know, about a little bit about the founding of Kuomba Jazz. And really, I think the maybe I'd love to hear about kind of the background of founding it as a nonprofit. It's not just a venue. There's so much more.
Right. Yeah.
And kind of what that process was of coming up with that idea.
Well, it's, as I say, I was a co-founder along with a couple of other people who were really the main folks. The person who had the original idea for Kawumba Jazz, the idea of, even before there was a name, of starting a nonprofit jazz organization in Santa Cruz was a gentleman named Rich Wills. He passed away a couple of years ago. And he was a radio programmer at KUSP. Probably some of your longtime listeners will remember KUSP. It was the local NPR station here for decades. And, you know, actually before it was an NPR station. So Rich was a jazz programmer there. He had a friend who was also a programmer there named Sheba Burney. And she was invested in the idea, as was I. The three of us were friends. And that's basically the nucleus of the formation group. I won't say we were not the only people involved, but at the end of the day, when it came to doing the organizing and making things happen, and when something had to get done, it was one of the three of us that always ended up doing it. And we were the three that ended up sticking with the organization for a long period of time. Both Rich was with the organization for about the first 4 or 5 years, and Sheba for about the first 10 years. And then they both moved on to do other things. And I'm actually was the only one that of the original group that stayed for what's been the entire 50 years. So, like I say, it was a kind of a collaboration. It really kind of started in the studios at KUSP. And then we had a few meetings around town, just general open to the public meetings about starting a nonprofit jazz organization. As I say, there were other people involved that would help out. And we did our first concert on April 6th of 1975. We were going to do it at San Lorenzo Park at Duck Island Theater. But it rained that day, so we had an alternate spot, which was the Laurel School Auditorium, which I think is now the Nelson Center. But back then, it was still a school, and they let us use their school auditorium on this rainy, I don't remember if it was a Saturday or a Sunday, but I know it was a weekend. We had the great jazz tenor saxophonist Joe Henderson played, and lots of local jazz groups. And that's basically how we got our start. And we took donations. And from there, we just started scheduling little concerts around town with the goal. And I think this is interesting. You know, our goal was to have our own venue, not just be a jazz organization that presented concerts, but an organization that developed its own venue. So we had a real home for jazz in Santa Cruz. And that, I think, is what differentiated us between us and some other jazz organizations that had different aspirations. Ours was always to have our own venue. So there could be, as we always called it, a home for jazz in Santa Cruz. And so after a couple of years of work, we were able to make the plunge. We got our nonprofit status. I think we may have even gotten an NEA grant by that point. We really didn't have anything, but we had a lot of will and determination, just a lot of naivete. And we found the old Parisian Bread Bakery, which is where we are today. It's the same spot. It was an old bread bakery that had closed down and was being divided up into different smaller businesses. We took about 2,500 square feet and developed the first version of Kawumba, Memorial Day weekend of 1977. We had our first concerts at Kawumba. The room looked different. We've since taken more space and expanded it, and the room is set up differently, but it's still essentially the same real estate. And so that's where we have been in all the ensuing decades, as we've, you know, built our organization, built our patron base, and really become the home for jazz, one of the major homes for jazz in the country, really.
Yeah, I was really impressed, you know, reading some of the accolades and things I hadn't heard about, you know, the notoriety that Kawumba's has gained over the years. You're touching on it too, but I thinking about these 50 years for Kawumba, if there's any you know, defining moments or maybe some of those memories from the early days that, you know, kind of first come to your mind when you think about the last 50 years?
With the benefit of time and piecing things together, it basically always comes down to people. You know, there's the artist involved, and those artists in the 70s that first defined Kuwumba with those artists like Art Blakey and Dexter Gordon and Joe Henderson and McCoy Tyner and Phil Woods. And that whole generation, that whole kind of post-bebop generation. And then as it has evolved over the years into the, you know, the Wynton Marsalis generation, to the Christian McBride, Joshua Redman generation, to the, you know, Emmanuel Wilkins, Gerald Clayton generation, you know, you see these different generations of artists move forward, and it's really fun to be a part of that. But also internally at Kuwumba, while I've been a constant, there have been other, you know, very important people who have been there, you know, over the years. You know, it started out with myself and Rich and Sheba. And then when they left, you know, we had lots of different folks coming through. I mean, we just had a couple years ago, Bobby Todaro, who was our executive director for many, many years. She'd been with us since the late 80s. You know, she was really important to the development of Kuwumba. There was some of the volunteers like Chris at the door, Chris Tompkins, who's been there forever, or Cheryl Simons, our cafe chef. There's so many folks to point out that have been with us for so long and you know, have really been key in shaping the story of Kuwumba. And then now we have the new generation of leadership coming in with Bennett as our creative director, Bennett Jackson, and Chanel Enriquez as our executive director. You know, that's a whole new young generation of leadership, which is really exciting for me, because then I can see what the future looks like. And I've always been somebody who's tried to look forward. And I mean, I'm like you, I love history and I love to look back on and try and piece things together. I think it helps predict the future as well. But, you have to be looking forward as an organization. And I think our organization is really well positioned to lead into the future. So it really does, when I look back, it really boils down to all the people involved, the artist involved, and then the amazing folks that work with us all the time. And that's not even counting all our patrons. You know, we've had patrons who've been coming to Kuwumba for decades. You know, we've seen their kids grow up and have grandkids, and you know, it's a special venue with a lot of unique and meaningful relationships.
Sure. I mean, we're you know, really lucky to have, you know, places like Kuwumba here in Santa Cruz. I think it's just especially with its rich history, it was very interesting reading up on you know, how, I mean, at 50, I didn't think it had been around that long. And I'm not a, you know, music historian by any means, but I know, you know, just reading through all the names and moments was really interesting.
Yeah, it was, as you go back through the, because we log every concert that we've ever had, and we've got a large, you know, thousands and thousands of concerts, you know, under our belts. And it's funny, they, in one sense, they all kind of blend together, but in another way, they're all completely unique onto themselves, each and every show. And it continues that way to this day. And one of the nice things about Kuwumba is that it's really kind of a community meeting place, because while we produce maybe up to 20 or so jazz concerts a month, there's plenty of other activities at Kuwumba when we rent the facility out to independent producers. I mean, I was just talking to John Sandage today from Snazzy Productions, and he's been doing his shows at Kuwumba for over 40 years. And so he has a whole nother group of people that come to Kuwumba that they don't really know Kuwumba necessarily as a jazz venue. They know it for the music that, you know, that the folk and the Americana music that John Sandage presents. So it's really become, you know, kind of the, you know, the community music, music hall. And we haven't even touched on all the education activities that we do with our honor band and our summer jazz camp and our masterclass series, all of those things that are happening throughout the month year round that, you know, help develop young artists and also, just develop the love and appreciation of the music for everybody.
I mean, that seems like such an important program to, you know, not only promote, you know, established artists, but developing the next artists and the next people that are the audience members that are going to come enjoy concerts as well.
Absolutely.
I got one more question for you. I'll make sure I get you out of here on time, but having Santa Cruz be a college town and, you know, every year is a new opportunity for, more fans of jazz and music to come to Kuwumba. And I'm curious, from your perspective, for the people that have never been to Kuwumba Jazz, what's something that they can expect on their first visit?
I think they're going to feel a sense of community when they walk in. I think it's pretty hard not to. I think it's a very welcoming place. It's well suited for the production of live music. It's, you know, there's a friendly energy about it. It's not a hustle, but it's very comfortable. You can come in, you can get food, you can get beverages. And I think that whether you, hopefully you like the musical experience, but whether you do or not, I think anybody would say that the setting and the aesthetics of it, the sound and the production values, all of that is going to be on a very high level. Well, any music lover will tell you, you know, there's really nothing that beats the experience of live music. It's just, it, particularly in a small venue, when you feel a personal connection with the artist on stage, when they're only 15 or 20 feet away from you. It's a special feeling, particularly when you're interacting with some of the greatest musicians in the world. It's a special feeling. So I would encourage all of the students at UCSC to come down and experience a show. You know, we've got it, you know, it's easy to find us. We're easily located. We've got student discount tickets that are always available. We do everything we can do to try and encourage and develop new and younger audiences.
A special thank you to Tim for his time. And I'd also like to remind listeners that in May, there will be a free anniversary concert celebration at San Lorenzo Park, as well as an in-venue installation of posters, photos, and memorabilia from the Kuwumba Archives. This has been David with Slugcast. Thanks for listening.